Broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. The Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Previously recorded with Mark as the host of The Mark Kohler Show.
Enjoy this fresh take on strategies to better live the American dream.
Got a special guest at the bottom of the hour, an author of an incredibly wonderful book. I've loved it. I've got it here right in front of me. I've had a chance to read it. I'm excited, and we've got Drew back at the home office running the studio, and appreciate her and all of her hard work. And welcome any new listeners to the show. We're here every Tuesday, live at 11 a.m. Pacific, The Mark Kohler Show with yours truly, Mark Kohler. And I am an entrepreneur, tax strategist, CPA, attorney. I've written a couple books, love to speak around the country, and I've got a wonderful, wonderful following of clients and listeners to the show and subscribers to my newsletter. And I just want to thank many of you that may be listening right now to the show, whether it's live or recorded on iTunes or what the case may be. So just want to welcome you to the show. Exciting topic today, talking about successfully navigating the downturn. So excited to dive into that. Now, let me throw out a couple points. Wanted to touch on a couple little thoughts and feelings that I have had over the week and that might be of help to some of you in your quest to better live the American dream. It was interesting that on an asset protection topic, I just had a phone call this morning with some clients, and I even said, I'm not going to tell them your names, but what do you think of me sharing your situation? And they said, Mark, do it. You've got to let people know. They were so frustrated. I could hear the heartbreak in their voice when we talked on the phone today. They had worked with an attorney that had charged them over $10,000 and then $2,000 a year in maintenance fees to set up an irrevocable trust for asset protection. That was it. Just overcharged them for this massively supposed, intricate, incredible trust that's going to give all this great asset protection and an exorbitant annual maintenance fee. And they were crushed. They felt they got taken advantage of. And then, to make matters worse, they were listening to the radio, and they said, come on down to Nevada corporate ... company, and we'll take care of your structuring, and let's get you set up in Nevada. And they thought, well, this has got to be a better deal. So then they went through the rigmarole of getting three Nevada companies, and they're not even living in Nevada or doing business in Nevada, and got a family limited partnership and a whole new elaborate structure there. And they felt like they were just overwhelmed with the bookkeeping and the tax returns and the entities with actually a fairly simple small business and a little bit of real estate. And I was emotional, to say the least, on the phone as I had to break them the bad news that they were just way, way, way overcomplicated in their structure and had paid for information they really didn't need. And I was so excited on one hand that I knew I could impact their life and make things simpler, save them money, save them taxes, but it was hard to tell them that they already knew in their gut that they had been misled twice, and they were hoping the third time they were in the right place. So, folks, this is why I've written two books on this topic. Really, it really is the main reason why I feel like I'm speaking from the rooftops, letting people know about the scams out there in asset protection and what the topics are CPAs should be talking with their clients about. There are so many smart, sharp CPAs out there, but they don't open their mouths. They don't talk about tax planning, and clients aren't asking for it either. They want the cheapest possible tax return, and it's just a travesty. So please be careful out there. Get a second opinion. Always give our attorneys a call if you need some advice on asset protection. We're not going to come up with some massive upfront fixed price. You can charge. We'll charge just hourly for our time to point you in the right direction, and then you can go from there. And usually in a half hour to an hour, we can completely transform your life and really wow you and shock you. So hopefully that's helpful. Another little side note, it was interesting today. I had a phone call with a client, wonderful clients out of Texas, who have a small business. He's been doing photography for years, and he just, I love talking with him, their excitement, husband and wife, two kids. He's got his, they both have day jobs, and then they do photography on the side. And they said, Mark, look at our tax returns. I was like, I'd love to. I looked at their tax returns, and I'm like, where's the small business? And they said, well, our accountant said it was more of a hobby and not to put it on the return. And I go, let me get this straight. You're really going out and doing weddings and all of these different photo shoots for fun? Don't you get paid? Yeah, Mark, I get paid. I said, well, is it a hobby to you? He goes, well, I enjoy it, but it's a small business. I'm trying to make some money. And their accountant didn't even put it on their tax return. Thousands and thousands of dollars for write-offs last year. Small business could have saved them thousands and got them a bigger refund. And their accountant didn't even put it on their tax return. And I can't go back and do it now. It's just more of a red flag to try to go back and amend for something that big, you know, that all of a sudden I've got a small business. Are you kidding me? The IRS is going to be very concerned, wondering why that wasn't there further and new. So just crazy. So a couple experiences today that just kind of rocked my world. I'm really concerned about people out there being facing these types of situations, and really want to encourage all of you listening, whether you're using our law firm or accounting firm or not. I know many of you may be listening in again for the first time. Someone may have sent you this podcast, or you might be catching this on iTunes, or you may be listening live. Just know, get a second opinion. We're here for you if you'd like one, and be careful out there. There's a lot of bad advice out there in the tax and legal world. So welcome again. I notice a lot of people just jumping on the line and want to welcome you here to the show. We're at the bottom of the hour. We have a special guest, an author, Don Todron, CEO and president of Second Wind Consultants. And he's got a new book out that is just phenomenal, Successfully Navigating the Downturn and Economic and Competitive Survival Strategies. Boy, could you think of a more timely topic? His book is flying off the shelf, and we're lucky to have him here with us today. So we'll be bringing him on the show here later at the bottom of the hour. And until then, let's come up with some little tax and legal tips. Many of you know that we do this on the show every week. We'll come up with we have our special guests that will come on and give us a little tax or legal tip they may have bumped into over the week and help save us all a little bit of money and give us a little more I guess a little more to our game on living the American dream and building our wealth. So I'm excited. We'll have Matt Sorensen come on here first, a regular guest on the show, my partner in the law firm. He just runs circles around me. I'm so impressed with him on a regular basis. He's awesome. Matt Sorensen, are you there?
I'm here, Mark.
Well, thanks for jumping on the show today. I know you're very busy. We only get Matt here every 2 or 3 weeks, and we're glad to have him on the show today.
Well, it's an honor to be on again.
Well, I was going to play some Justin Bieber for you here on maybe
oh,
at the
baby.
Break. Yeah, a little bit of, oh, baby, baby. You've been
you know, my five-year-old, she rips that song out whenever it comes on the radio, so she knows all the words.
Do you have your own Bieber Fever t-shirt? Is that or just your daughter?
I don't have a T-shirt, but I did enjoy, what was it, Never Say Never, Justin yeah. Bieber. I did watch that movie and enjoy it.
Yeah, it's another Rudy. It's an amazing dream. It's awesome. Well, Matt, what do you got for us this week?
I got better tips than that, though.
I bet you got better tips than that, yeah. What do you got?
All right. Well, this tip goes into some of the collections realm. Some of the tax world realm, but it's regarding collection issues and dealing with the IRS. You know, I just even today we had our office sprayed for some bugs. We've had some spiders in our office, so we had it sprayed for bugs. Bug guys in my office asked me about what to do with the IRS. He's chasing them down.
So, get some free legal advice while he's spraying.
I know. And it's one of those things that, you know, a lot of my clients always like to ask offhand, what do I do? You know, maybe they don't hire us to move forward and help them, although we do that, and we can certainly help in that process. And Lee Chan out in Irvine from our office does an excellent job in helping clients go through the different channels of the IRS to try and get resolution. But I just want to go over a few items to be aware of when you're dealing with the IRS so that you know what you're up against and what your options are. So
okay.
If you're in a situation where there's where the IRS is collecting and taking collection action against you, there's a couple of appeals that you can make to the IRS. Some of them are called a collection due process hearing, and that's where you can challenge the IRS for a determination that they make of what tax is owed. Now, a lot of times this will happen, for example, if you're not filing returns, the IRS just gets all your W-2s or 1099s together and assesses the tax owed, and you're stuck. So one of the nice things you can do if you have a dispute with the IRS is you can make an appeal, stays within the IRS, and it's kind of your first defense to besides trying to deal with whatever agent you're dealing with. But assuming that's not working, you can make an appeal. Now, there's some time deadlines to it. Be careful on the notices. They usually outline, you know, what your time periods are for these hearings. Now, if you're unsuccessful in the appeals process, you can go to the tax court. This is a little more expensive process. You're definitely going to want a lawyer for this. And in that tax court process, you have an independent judge. Now you're outside the IRS. It's not just some IRS employee who likes to just tax whatever they can. You at least have hopefully an impartial judge ruling in your case.
Yeah.
Now let's say that you're not in a situation where you're necessarily contesting the amount owed, but you're really just trying to make a resolution or come up with some type of payment arrangements to pay the tax. I know a lot of clients fall into this situation. The first thing to consider is if you owe less than $25,000, this is much easier to do. You can enter into an installment agreement with the IRS, and under that installment agreement, you know, you submit a budget and tell the IRS what you can pay on a monthly basis, and they will, so long as they feel that's reasonable, they'll accept the installment agreement, and you end up paying the IRS over time. Now, interest accrues, but at least they cease collection activity. They're not going to continue to throw liens against you or zap money out of your bank account so long as you're honoring the installment agreement.
Now, this is, Matt, let me interject here because I think this is an important point. A lot of people don't realize. It is common, and I've had this feeling. I've been an entrepreneur for 20 years. I'll admit, I've had years where I'm like, oh, no, how am I going to pay the IRS? And I get nervous, and I get a little stressed out, even as a tax consultant. And so I do want to assure people, the IRS is one of those people that just wants a kiss and a hug. All they want to do is hear from you. It is so important that you keep the communication line open. And if you're willing to pay and you're willing to even just get on an installment agreement, the IRS is actually required to accept your payment plan if it's under 25 grand. And you just have to fill out the paperwork and stay in communication. But folks, if you don't return the phone calls, if you avoid the mail and don't go down and pick up the registered letters from the post office, it's only going to get worse. And I love, Matt, that you're bringing up the installment agreement, because it's a great way to cut a deal with the IRS at very reasonable interest rates and just get on a payment plan. It's not a bad deal. I love it.
Yeah, it's not a bad deal. And the most important thing is you got to have a plan. The longer and longer you procrastinate it, the more painful it's going to get when the IRS surprises you by zapping all the money out of your bank account.
Oh, yeah, that's a wonderful day. Yeah, have you ever had those, you know, guys where you like go to your bank?
Oh, yeah, I love the client that calls me that says, I can't pay my mortgage. I can't pay my employees. I can't pay, you know. The IRS has zapped every penny out of my bank account, you know, and it's a hard time trying to get that money back from the IRS because they're going to tell you you owe it. So
yeah, and you know the hard part here, and I say this kind of humorously because it's such an emotional issue, but guys, the IRS does. I mean, I wouldn't say they're anxious, and they're not. They don't just fly off the handle and go hit your bank account. they don't come after your bank account until at least 10 or 20 letters have probably come to your house. I mean, it's
yeah.
not, you're going to know full well that the bank, that the IRS is coming. It may be wise to have a separate bank account somewhere, or you know, also maybe return some of those letters and phone calls, get on a payment plan, create an offer and compromise, which I know we don't have time to talk about today, but I just think the main, if I can say, Matt, I love you bringing up this topic just so that we can remind people to don't play ostrich. Don't put your head in the sand. And I think that's one of the biggest dangers we face.
Yeah, and I think the one thing you got to keep in mind is the IRS is not a creditor you want to have. They have more powers to collect against you than any other creditor out there, as do state tax commissions if this is a state tax debt. And they can really make your life miserable. They have unlimited resources, and you can't bankrupt the amount you owe them. So put them as a high priority in terms of a creditor to pay back, and be proactive at it. Make a plan. Go through the appeals process. If you have tax, you know, decisions from the IRS you disagree with and they're trying to assess tax on you don't agree with. But in the end, if you know you owe it, try and work out an installment agreement. An offer and compromise is another option where you can try and cut a deal. We've got lots of newsletter articles and stuff on that. You can call us if you want to learn more about that. But just be proactive with your debt with the IRS.
Yeah, and you know what? Matt, great comments. And I want to say one last thing. Folks, this is, if you've just joined us, we've got Matt Sorensen on the line, my partner in the law firm that comes on the show every 3 weeks and shares a legal or tax tip that he's bumped into. Today we're talking just for a few minutes about dealing with the IRS. And we've got a special guest coming on shortly here at the bottom of the hour, author Don Todrin, talking about successfully navigating the downturn in today's economy. Very good, timely topic. But this IRS one plays right into this. And I want to speak from the bottom of my heart. I joke around. I throw on my Justin Bieber, white wife beater tank top. But let me just throw out here. It is very it's very common right now in today's economy that many of us, I have clients that are extremely successful that have a prior tax bill to the IRS because their economic situation's changed and they may owe the IRS some money. And I want to just let many of you know that these fly-by-night companies that offer settle with the IRS for pennies on the dollar, please be careful. Don't pay a large amount up front. Make sure you're working with a law firm. We can help you with that. Lee Chan in our office is phenomenal. He's a great fighter with the IRS. He gives you a report of his time spent every month. But it can work. If you're poor, the IRS will cut you a deal. But if you're not poor, it's not going to happen. Get on an installment plan, communicate with the IRS, and I promise you the pain will slowly go away. You won't go to bed afraid of the IRS. They'll just... you just send in your monthly payment and you're off and running. If you have to adjust it or next year add to it, there's forms for that. So, folks, don't feel alone. Don't put your head in the sand. Wake up with new energy every day. Be excited to make it happen, and we'll be there to help you do it. So, Matt, great topic. It's tough.
Thank you. I thought it was too.
It's good stuff. Well, folks, Matt Sorensen, attorney extraordinaire, CrossFit, champion. Should I say that?
No, nobody cares about that.
I know.
I'm not that tough anyway. So,
Matt, you're awesome. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you in 2 or 3 weeks when you come back on for a tip. So, folks, if you need to get a hold of Matt, just email him, matt@kkolawyers.com. So, thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Mark.
All right. Well, folks, I'm excited to get over to our topic for the day. We sometimes have another tip from Arif Halaby, our financial advisor out of Los Angeles, a regular guest on Dodger Radio. So we're going to just jump right over to our special guest. I'm going to ask Drew. I've got on the chat window here some comments from some folks that we might be breaking in and out. Drew, give me a little love here on the chat window. Are you hearing me okay? Anyone on the chat, you want to just kind of throw that out, let me know. I'm on a landline. I'm not on my cell phone, and I'm hearing from Drew that she can hear me just great. Okay, well, good. Thank you so much, Drew. Okay, well, I want to introduce our special guest. He is on the line. I'm really excited about this. This is a great topic, and I really want to encourage many of you that may have comments or questions. This is a great time to take advantage of this guy. The topic, again, successfully navigating the downturn. It's the title of Donald's new book, Economic and Competitive Survival Strategies. Don has been is the president and CEO of Second Wind Consultants. He's been saving families one business at a time for over 30 years. I've been changing people's lives one tax return at a time. So I'm anxious to see how he's saving families. It's a great question, and I want to ask him right off the bat. He's an expert in commercial debt workout and currently heads up a nationally Second Wind Consultants, a nationally established leader in small business debt workout. So he's helping people get out of these tough situations. We were just talking about the IRS. That's good. That he probably has some experience dealing with them. And his new book is just flying off the shelves. We're going to make sure everyone knows how to get on his website and order his book if you'd like it. I think it's going to be – it's really got a lot of words to this thing. This is a thick book. I want to bring Donald on the show. Don, are you there?
I am, Matt. I am.
Don, thanks so much for being – no, you bet. I know it's hard with Matt and Mark here, but Matt's – yeah, Matt's no problem. Well, Don, thanks so much for coming on the show. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure to be here. I welcome the opportunity to spread the word and give some advice out where it's needed. And these days, it's certainly needed. It's tough times out there.
It is. It is tough times. And I was just going to comment on the quality of your book. I mean, as an author myself, I say this humbly. I see a lot of people throw books together with co-authors, and they just take some articles they've written and slap them together in some creative chapters or headings. But this book, wow. I don't even want to guess at how many words it is. The index is phenomenal. 23 chapters, and it's got a lot of meat to it. This had to have taken you months and months to write.
Well, you know, Mark, it's funny that's only a small sampling. It comes from my blog, and I started writing about 3 years ago when the recession really kicked in and people were feeling enormous pain. I didn't know where it was going to lead. I just needed to begin helping people find a way out, a way to survive. And, you know, after 30 years of working with small business owners, and when I say working with them, I mean right in the front lines, what I call hand-to-hand small business combat, and learning what works and what doesn't work by doing it, you know, not by talking about it, but doing it. And I've been doing this for my entire professional career. And you know, I started writing, and I haven't stopped. And sometimes I don't even know where it comes from, other than years of experience and learning. But, yeah, I started, and there's over about 11 or 1,200 posts on that blog right now. This book represents about 200 of them. So there's five times more material if anyone is interested in looking at it.
Well, I love what you do, and many people – I want to throw this out, too. I need to almost finish the introduction because Don has a very, very distinguished career. And he also has a law degree. He has a master's in small business taxation, which is the same thing I've got, you know, taxation master's. You went to Boston University, just wonderful. I went to University of Utah, go Utes, now in the Pac-12. Just want to throw that out. But your work with the one-on-one with small business owners is really where people – learn how to deal with these hard issues. It's not like you're a professor in a college where it's esoteric and academic. You're in the trenches every day helping small business owners. And so we're excited to get some tips today from you. I'll tell you that right now. So let me ask you right off the bat, like I alluded to, what do you mean by saving families one business at a time? Give us an example. I mean, what makes you tick? Yeah.
Well, Mark, it's really pretty simple. There are some things that we know, and what we know is that small business is really the heartbeat of this country, that 70% of the employees in this country are working for small business. I mean, it's everything from the small mom-and-pop store to the, you know, $1 or $2 million 10-person business, but that's what America is. Now, big business gets the headlines, no question about it. They have the lobbyists, they're powerful, they spend big money, but that's just 30% of the payroll in this country. It's small business that is who we are. And that's my love. I'm a small businessman at heart. I'm an entrepreneur at heart. And as I learned my trade and created my skill, I took it right down to what I call the street, you know, where it really counts. Because I'll tell you, when the recession hit and revenues dropped, plummeted, and over 2.5 million businesses closed over the last 2 years.
Wow.
Small businesses. And when a business closes and mom doesn't have a job anymore and dad lost his revenue and the kids, you know, need to, you know, go to school and have clothes and live in a house and it's at risk. I mean, we know how many millions of houses are in foreclosure. Well, a lot of this comes from small businesses being put out of business. So when I say saving families one business at a time, that's exactly what I mean. Every business that goes out is taking not only the family that owns it, but the half a dozen employees that counted on the revenue. This is very important work.
Yeah, no, it is extremely rewarding when you know that you're helping someone get back on their feet and pay the bills. And it's very personal. It's very emotional. It's what drives me, and obviously it's what's driving you, and I just share that common bond. Now, let me ask some real practical tips. I mean, folks, I'm not kidding. I don't sound this cheesy. I want you to know that, Don, when I'm looking over a special guest's book. Your topics, just each one of these is just phenomenal. Like you said, they're blog topics in and of themselves. But let me ask about this one. This is a good one. This is in your chapter one that I think is very helpful. You say, beware, a poor economy leads to bad decisions. What do you mean by that when the economy is pushing on us, why we might make bad decisions? Why does that happen?
There's a lot to be said about that. There are a lot of aspects to that, and I take this from my experience. But, you know, what happens is, look, a poor economy results in reduced revenue. Reduced revenue results in putting people into the corner, bad places where they have to make difficult decisions. So two things happen. One, they make emotional decisions that may not be based on logic, may not be clear thinking. It may end to real self-destruction. And that's on the business side of the coin. And I see quite a bit of this. People closing when they should be making adjustments, people making the wrong adjustments. For example, a knee-jerk reaction when revenue goes down is to cut out all advertising and marketing. That seems to be disposable expenses. I can do away without it. Now, what happens is you begin reducing your own capability, your own message, and you're accelerating the downturn. Secondarily, people sometimes have a difficult time figuring out how to downsize effectively. And I often see they cut out their sales department. They can go. Well, this is an act of self-destruction also. So it's very important to make critical decisions correctly when confronted with challenges of this type. And unfortunately, I see an awful lot of small businesses that make emotional decisions and live to regret it. But, you know, there's another side to the coin, and this is also what I talk about because I see this all too much, and that since the downturn puts enormous pressure on small business, revenues are decreasing 20, 30, 40, 50, 60%. The entrepreneur, business owner foregoes a paycheck continuously, erodes his 401K, uses his wife's credit cards, borrows money from his in-laws, takes his kids' college education money, does all of these things in hopes of keeping it going, paying his bills, covering his payroll, waiting it out, expecting something big to happen. Unfortunately, a proper reading of this economy is that's not going to turn around. We have to learn how to live within it. So all of a sudden, they take a look and they've raped themselves. They've destroyed their own financial foundation. They've put their families at risk. This leads to more bad decisions. And I hate to say it, but this leads to divorce. This leads to drinking, drugs, infidelity. It leads to moral decay. It leads to bad decisions. People who have never been under this type of pressure before, business owners who have never confronted this type of downturn, are ill-equipped to handle it. Bad personal decisions, bad business decisions, bad financial decisions. All too much of it. I see all too much of it. And it saddens me because, you know, who's responsible for this? Not the small businessman. But having said that, I say, however, you are responsible for making good decisions to turn your predicament around. because it can't be done.
And wow, before we jump to those good decisions that we can be making, let me wipe a tear here. You've totally depressed my show, listeners. If you, if not me,
I'm here with a good message, Mark. I'm here with good news.
I know. I'm over here wiping tears from my eyes. Oh my gosh, this guy's peering into my soul. You know, no, this is so good. I love it. And you know, one example on this to try to keep it a little light, because you're right, it is such a serious issue, and it's breaking up families and relationships around the country as a byproduct. But I joke with my teenagers that this is kind of like the after midnight rule. You know, after midnight, we make poor decisions. We make emotional decisions, and we get into trouble. And so it's always best to just go to bed and then wake up and start fresh, because we can, under the pressure, we can make wrong decisions. Well, let's talk about some good. Now, by the way, folks, if you've just joined us here, man, I am so excited about this. We've got Don Todran here, president of Second Wind Consultants and author of the new book, Successfully Navigating the Downturn. If any of you have a question, we'll take some live callers. And Sarah, I know you had a question about that IRS issue. If you'll shoot me a quick email, I'd like to maybe not come back to the IRS. So don't be offended. I'm so sorry I didn't take that call when Matt was on the line. But shoot me an email about that IRS. And if any of you have a question about that IRS topic, let me know via email. mark@markjkohler.com. But if you have a question here for Don and you want to add to the conversation, any comments, situations that would be helpful, please use the guest call-in number, 646-200-4285. That's 646-200-4285. I think you press the number 1, and it kind of raises your hand, and then Drew will pick up your call and get your question. And if you'd like to type anything on the chat window, please do. We'd love to hear from you. I'll make a little note there here in a moment. Okay, well, Don, give us some hope here. What is maybe one of the first? I know you've got just a pile of information here in your book of things we can be doing positively. What are some of those top things that you, if you just have a few minutes like you do with us, what's one of the main things you want to tell people to do when they start to feel the pressure coming?
Well, Mark, there's three basic areas that you need to focus on. And I want to start off by saying that, you know, while 2.5 million businesses might have closed in the last couple of years, there's about 600,000 businesses a year that are opening. Now, here's the difference. When you open a business today, you're taking all of the current circumstances into your business plan, you're adjusting accordingly, and you're coming up with a plan that is really capable of winning based on what exists today. These people are winning. New businesses are opening every day and succeeding. So what we have is a disconnect. We have millions of small business owners that have been used to doing business a particular way for a long time, and the transition is not being made. They're still carrying their old ways. They're not making changes. Success is absolutely capable. People can win today, and people are winning today, but you need to make changes. You need to do things differently. You need to think differently. So the opportunity is here, and I'm going to tell you exactly what you should be thinking about in order to convert your business to a successful business today. So Here's the first thing. First thing is you got to downsize, and this is so hard. Nobody wants to let go of their employees because the small businessman is loyal. He loves his employees. He cares for them. He knows that they fight for him every day. He knows that they have families. He does not want to let a single person go.
No, Don, let me interject here. Now, what you're saying is we're not going to downsize our marketing budget. We're not talking about downsizing budgets per se initially. We're talking about downsizing people,
I'm talking about definitely downsizing your payroll. Look, if you were doing $1 million in revenue and now you're doing $500,000 in revenue, you cannot maintain the same overhead. You have to reduce your payroll. You have to reduce your rent. You have to get smarter about your marketing. You have to do things differently, but downsizing financially, forcing your budget to work is critical. You can't expect $500,000 to support what $1 million supported before. Doesn't make sense. But unfortunately, these are tough decisions. These are personal decisions. But yes, Mark, you must reduce your payroll. You have to do it. If you don't, everyone's going to be looking for a job. So you need to let go of the 3 or 4 people or the 5 people that need to be let go so the others can survive and the business can grow. And maybe you can bring them back online. Maybe you can rehire them in another 6 months. But you got to start off by putting your business back into the black, and you can do it with a pencil. Just cross off the areas that are too expensive and make them smaller. So that's critical. Now, how to do it? How to do it is a little tricky, and I urge people to take a look at my book, because there's a half a dozen rules that if you follow, you can do it safely and securely and respectfully. It doesn't have to be a terrible environment.
Yeah, in fact, I want to highlight that. I love that you talked about the six pitfalls to downsizing. And folks, remember, I know we've got a lot of listeners that are smaller businesses, one-man shows, and we've got people listening that have 10 or 20 employees or more. And so we realize that there's a lot of different situations out there. But even if you're a small business without a lot of employees, I like how you said, look at the largest expense items on your P&L and start having a hard look in the mirror, I guess.
Yeah, and sometimes, by the way, it means simply just stop paying.
Yeah.
Just stop paying and then work it out from there. You have no choice. I say this constantly. Look, if you got a ton of dough and your revenue is flowing, you do have choices. You can pay. But when the revenue is gone and your cash is gone, you must act accordingly. You must make the hard decisions. It's the only responsible thing to do, or you're going to be out on the street, and that serves nobody.
Yeah.
All right, so let me just hit the top ones here, Mark, and then we can get into some detail if you'd like.
Yes, sir. Yes.
So here's the next one. This is a tough one. Nobody really understands it, but everybody has to do it. It's called reinvent your business. A great sounding term, but people ask me, what does that mean? What do you mean reinvent it? What does that possibly mean? So I'm going to give you some ideas as to what that means and some examples of how people do it. First of all, the last 10, 15 years was all about gross revenue. Just bring in the dough. Profit was fat. You know, people were spending money. My wife would go in and buy a dozen pair of shoes. Now she buys one pair of shoes, maybe. So, you know, you need to look at net profit, not gross revenue. Today, the rule is net profit. There were times when revenues were so large you can work on a smaller margin because you brought in enough money to cover it. Now, spending is down. So every dollar that's spent must be profitable. No more loss leaders. No more I'll sell at a loss and we'll be okay. I'll compete with the big box stores. You cannot compete with the big box stores. Don't even think about it. And you don't even want to compete on price at all. You want to price profitably and win your share of market by reinventing yourself. Okay, so how do you do this? How do you reinvent yourself? Well, I'm going to give you a bunch of ways. First of all, you can look at your internal structure, like, for example, service. You can have salespeople that are exceptionally well-versed that can give advice and counsel. You go to a Walmart, you can't get any information because they're there at $8 an hour, and they're not there to sell you. They're there to just to stock shelves. But in a small business, the service that you provide is critical to the sale, and people will pay more for the product to get the service. Now, the service may be information. It may be recommendation. It may be specialization. You have the largest and broadest and deepest inventory of sneakers or a particular type of item, whatever it may be, or imported from Italy or something. But it's the best selection possible. So somebody goes there knowing, I'm going to get what I want. It's going to cost me a little bit more, but I'm going to be satisfied. You might have some items that are very exotic in that line, and they only sell a few times a year, but you've reinvented yourself to be the best in something. You want to control a niche. You want to be the best in something. Yeah.
Now, Don, if I could interject here too, I guess, it depends. It doesn't matter if it's a service-based business or a product-based business or if you're in real estate or consulting. You want to. What you're saying here, correct me if I'm wrong, is looking at your array of services or products and reevaluating in today's economy what's going to be the best strategy. In real estate, it could very well have changed, and in my product line, it could have changed. But we're emotionally tied to these products, Don. It's hard to let some of them go. I don't want to learn anything new.
Right. you know something? Then become a statistic. Either join or become a statistic. And give you a couple examples. There's a great high-end restaurant in Boston, a top of the line, and they did a huge business on business dinners, big ticket, lots of drinking, lots of eating. That was their forte. Well, it dropped like a rock. The owner was extremely clever. He said, "All right, I'm gonna reinvent myself. I'm going to feature business lunches," and he promoted it. And he never did a lunch before. It was always 5 o'clock and beyond. Now his business lunches are packed. Now they're spending less money. They're in and out in an hour. There's no drinking, but his revenue is through the ceiling again, and it's profitable revenue. It's the same overhead. He's open anyways. He's paying the same rent. He's getting a decreased evening business, but now he's making it up. He reinvented himself. There's
very good comment. And the interesting thing is behind the scenes of that, there was a lot of hard decisions. It was redesigning a menu. It was letting people go. It was buying different types of food product. It really probably took a lot of stretching and pain, but in the end, his business survived. It's not easy.
None of this is easy. This is very challenging. But look, the entrepreneur, the small business owner, this is his job. This is what he has to do. His people are looking to him for leadership. They're depending on him to make the right decisions. And so this is what the owner must do. He must take this seriously and deliver. He's responsible for a lot of people, and he's got to perform. So let me give you some more examples, because the ideas trigger people's thinking. So a lot of service industry people, doctors, dentists, to name a few, but a lot of different people in the service market that are selling to customers that work during the day. And I'm forever saying, well, how do we do this? And given the economy now, why not make yourself more available? So I've got a whole bunch of clients that are in the chiropractic, the different types of – that's a particular one because I'm talking about one particular man – and he stays open till 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning on Friday and Saturday nights. And he thought I was crazy when I said to do this. But now he's adding more people, and he's thinking of actually going 24 hours. And his weekends are packed with people that can't make it 9 to 5, have children, have responsibilities during the week evenings, and they can make it Friday and Saturday night. He's turning it into an event, and he's doing extremely well. It's net profit, sell value. The term is called perceived value. Now, perceived value is not just how much, for the widget. It's not just price. It's, well, what's the guarantee? Can I give guarantees. I talk to so many businessmen. I say, what's your guarantee? And they look at me and I say, well, I stand behind my product. If somebody's unhappy, I make them happy. And that's what every small businessman says to me. I said, "Well, what's your advertised guarantee? What do you say to people?" I don't. I just I'm gonna stand behind it. So I urge them to tell people unlimited guarantee forever. Now, how many people take advantage of that? A few, but the value of extending yourself to the market and telling them, "I stand behind my goods. You have a problem anytime, you come back and I'll take care of you. It's worth gold." The big box store won't do that. In fact, I even go further. You got to have your receipt. You got to have the original packaging. I know when I walk out of the store, there's no way if I have a problem, I'm ever going to get satisfied. They're going to get me. That's the wrong attitude. The small businessman say, look, I don't care whether you have the receipt. I don't care whether it's after 30 days. I don't care we have the packaging. I'm going to take care of you, and the marketplace will show up at his doorstep and buy constantly, even if it's more money, and therefore it's more profitable, and the man can absorb that.
Well, phenomenal examples. I think these are fantastic. Now, I want to bring up a topic, too, because of our time here. I know that you may want to defer this, but let me bring up the debt topic. You're an expert in debt workouts. One of the biggest costs a lot of small business owners might have on their balance sheet as they try to restructure is they said, I've got this huge loan payment. Maybe it was startup money. Maybe it was a lender, an investor. It could be a second mortgage that they've taken out to get the business started, and they don't know how to get that debt off the books. It's killing their business. It's like a stranglehold on their business. What are some you write about this extensively, and you help people every day with this. Where do you start? Where do you start?
Well, I'm glad you brought it up because, let's be very clear. All of these ideas and all of these concepts are all fine and dandy, and they certainly will help you win. There's no doubt about it. But that same million-dollar company that took out a $500,000 note and was just having no problem serving it, and then his sales and revenue dropped to $500,000, and his margin went out the window, and now he's choking to death on that note payment. He cannot make it. Not only that, the business isn't worth the $500,000 anymore. It just makes no sense. And they go out of business because of the secured debt, and they don't know what to do. And all the lawyers say is file a bankruptcy. Great advice, except you lose the business. It doesn't solve the problem. Gets rid of the debt, doesn't solve the problem. So here's the context that I want your listeners to take away. Now, this is very technical material, and I can only tell you that every business has a unique approach. But here's the context. If you can't make the payment, don't. I mean, who are we kidding?
Hold it.
You can't make $10,000
a month. That seemed a little too simple, though. That seemed a little too simple.
I'm going to go to stage two. Wait a second. I'm not done. But here's the point. No, it's very, very important because, look, I see people putting themselves out of business to make the payment. What I'm saying is don't. Honor the business, default on the payment, and then we can work it out.
What about my credit score, Don? What about my credit score? My credit score is so high.
I love that. The silliest question I've ever heard in my entire life. It's my favorite one. You know what my answer is? Big deal. Who cares? You're fighting for survival. I don't care if your credit score goes to one. It doesn't make any difference. Besides, you can restore it. You can build it back. And there's something else as well. Commercial loans are made out to the business. The owners are guarantors. Guarantors do not default. The business defaults. So in our workouts with our commercial borrowers that are in default, they don't have a beaten-up credit. Nothing happens to their credit. The business gets the credit hit, not the guarantor. All the guarantor has to do, his obligation, is to satisfy a workout. Not necessarily pay the entire thing, but to satisfy a workout, because if he offers 10 cents on the dollar and it's accepted and he pays it, then the bank marks the note satisfied. There is no credit hit on the guarantor. The guarantor did not default. He successfully worked it out. He honored his guarantee. So
it
doesn't even happen. It's a misunderstanding. But I still say, even if it did, Mark, so what? We're fighting for survival. What do we care about our credit score?
Yeah. Oh, okay, and I interrupted you. So back to point one, if you can't afford to make the payment, don't make the payment.
So first
that's
of all,
stage one.
Look, here's rule one. Here's a rule. It's a rule that you cannot talk workout if you're current.
Yeah.
Well, why would the bank talk workout? They don't care how much pain you're feeling. You're current. Thank you very much. Forget it.
Yeah.
Beat it. Go away. So you have to be in default. Not only that, I talk to businessmen. Oh, I'm current on my loan. You're not taking a paycheck. They're juggling their vendors. They might even be in default on their 941 payroll taxes. They're putting money in, but they're current, and they think that they could. That's ridiculous. Run your business like a business. Take your paycheck. Pay your bills. Don't pay the bank. You can't be current. You can't afford the note. Work it out. Confront the bank. Show them your numbers. Show them your revenue. They will work it out. We do it every day of the week for millions and millions of dollars. We average pennies on the dollar because the banks are not idiots. They may act like it, but they're not. They understand, at least when they're shown in black and white, in dollars and cents, what you can afford, what you can't afford. But you must be in default. You must go with a plan. You must offer something that's real that you can commit to and keep, and you have to have some strategy here. This is, I got to tell you, this is not for the businessman to do on his own.
Yeah.
For two reasons. One, the businessman is a bad boy.
Well, before you start these reasons, let me interject here too, folks. This is such powerful information. I'm loving this, and it's sage advice, and it's life changing. It's saving families, like Don, you talked about. Folks, we're talking with Don Todrin here about surviving in today's economy. Don, I pulled up both of your websites. Why don't we just quickly tell people where they can go to get your book or get some more support? Do you want them to send them to secondwindconsultants.com or to your personal website? Where would you like people to go?
Well, they can do any one of the number of things. They can go to Amazon. Amazon has my book and sells it very well. So Amazon.com, and you can buy it for, I think, $14.95 or something. They actually discount it. You can certainly come to my website and buy it through us. Maybe it'll be in bookstores someday if there are any bookstores left. I don't know. They haven't reinvented themselves yet, so they got problems.
I love
but Amazon on my website. My website is secondwindconsultants.com.
Okay. Secondwindconsultants.com. Folks, the link will be
and
on.
That by the way, is where you'll find, you know, my 1,200 blog posts, and you know, it's well set up, so you can look at all kinds of different debt structures, or I have a whole column on successfully navigating the downturn, and a lot of interesting things you might find there. So you can get the book, or you can read the blog posts, and it's a resource. We have thousands of people that come to it, you know, all the time.
I love it. Okay, folks, very important. Check it out. And now let's get back to the topic. You were saying there's two reasons why you need to have a professional when you do work with the bank.
Yes. One
what
reason is there's an absolute bias against giving a deal to the borrower that is in default. And look, the bankers are human. Like, you know, they have feelings and they have emotions and they have bosses to deal with. There's all kinds of emotion going on here. And when you walk in and saying, look, I borrowed the money from you. I signed my guarantee. I did that. And now I want a discount. It's a very uphill battle. It doesn't work very well. It just doesn't. When you put a third-party expert in the middle, he isn't the abuser, and they think you are. You know, he isn't the violator. He didn't take the money and not pay it back. He's representing the borrower, and there's far less emotion and far more dollars and cents business. It works. In addition, this is technical stuff. You really have to know how to do this. This is not begging. It's not pleading. It's not even, you know, just merely showing them, you know, your finances. You really have to structure a workout, and it requires a degree of sophistication and experience. I highly recommend that you go to somebody that does this. Now, a lot of people go to lawyers. There are some great lawyers that do this. There's no question about it. There's some terrific lawyers that know exactly how to structure a workout. The problem is there are many, many more lawyers that don't, because they don't
and,
do it as a practice.
Yeah, and also, Don, as I talk, yeah, and as you know very well, you and I have talked about it, is that you have a lot of non-lawyers that want to play lawyer on TV, and it's a simple scam. They're taking advantage of these people and just trying to do it for them, and they don't know what they're doing.
Coincidentally, Mark, there are very few people that are even scamming in the area of commercial workout. All that activity mostly is in credit card workout and consumer workout.
But oh, yeah,
there
fair
are
enough.
Very,
okay,
very
yeah.
few people that are concentrating on commercial debt. In fact, our company might be one of the very few that do this, and we do it all over the country. So there probably aren't too many scammers in this end, but the problem is you go to somebody who's inexperienced and doesn't know how to do it. We do – look, there's so many of these loans are SBA guaranteed, so many of the small high-risk loans. And we do over, 100, 150 SBA workouts a year. So we know how to do it. And there are all kinds of tricks and traps and, you know, what they want and what they expect you to know. And there's no book, you know, there's no way. So you go to your lawyer, he's got to learn it for the first time, and he'll make mistakes. A quick story. We had a doctor actually hire us from Texas, and he, you know, when people call up, we answer them. We give them, you know, answer all their questions. If they want to do it on their own, well, my people will actually guide them through it. We want people to succeed. If they want to hire us, they can. If they need information, we give it to them. This particular doctor wanted to do it himself. He had his lawyer, asked a bunch of questions, and he was going to offer $450,000 on a $900,000 note guaranteed by the SBA. And they were convinced this was going to fly. It was a lot of money. It was a great workout. He calls me back a month later in shock. He can barely speak. He said, they refused me. So I asked him a few questions, and I said, well, I understand why. You know, I can handle it for you. And he said, well, what are you going to do for me? And I said, well, I think I can get you down to about 50 grand. He said, well, how can that be? They refused 450. That's the silliest thing I've ever heard in my life. He said, well, that's what I think. So he hired us, and we did it, and we delivered a $50,000 resolution. And he said, I don't understand it. It makes no sense. It's the silliest thing I've ever heard of in my life. And I said, no, it isn't. What you don't understand is that you're dealing with bureaucracy. There is a process. The number is only one part of it. You didn't dot your I's. You didn't check off the boxes. You didn't deliver the documents that you needed. You didn't satisfy the requirements that were in place in order to get the result. They didn't refuse the 450. They refused the presentation. I gave them the right presentation with the right number, and we won.
Well,
so you
got
to go to a specialist.
Yeah, no, totally agree. And I think that too many people in that crisis, they are conserving money every which way they can, and they don't want to pay for the professional. And, folks, what I think Don's first point was, quit making the payment and use that money carefully and wisely. Put it in the mattress and hire a professional that knows what they're doing. I don't do commercial workouts, and I think using a professional in that area would be absolutely critical. I wouldn't want to do that for someone because I don't know what I'm doing. And I, when I talk about scams out there, I want to just correct myself and point out, I mean, there's just so much out there, whether it's tax debt or credit card debt or whatever, and I need to point out that Don is a specialist in commercial debt, which is certainly a specific area of debt workout that, you know, that you're working in daily. Let me throw this out, too. In our last 5 minutes or so, a couple other topics in your book that I just thought were really kind of fun, and it's kind of going back to that reinventing mode, is you had a lot on generating and closing more sales and spending your marketing money wisely. Let's go back to that. We didn't spend a lot of time on it. We just talked about not.
Yeah. No, that's the fourth pillar. The fourth key to success. So here it is. Now, everybody will have heard this before, but they need to hear it again. And they need to hear it with a little more detail. And here it is. You need to adopt the Internet. You must. You have to. I'm tired of hearing business people saying, well, I got a website. Well, does it do anything for you? No. Well, then you're not using it effectively. The whole idea of social networking, of blogging, of video, of Facebook, of Twitter, of all of this stuff, it's critical. It's critical. If you're not using these tools, you are not competitive. Not only that, once you make your basic investment, it's almost cost-free. Cost-free. So it is efficient. It makes you a player. Look, the classic story is the restaurateur that went to Italy on a vacation and kind of toured an olive grove and ended up he went there because he saw this olive grove had a website on the Internet. He has a high-end restaurant in San Francisco. He travels to Italy, visits the olive grove and buys all of their year's production of olive oil and has what he calls the finest olive oil in the world. Now, how did that little farm, 20 acres in Italy, sell their full production out to this high-end restaurant in San Francisco? Through the Internet. Now, it's one of a million examples. My business is national, and it's driven by Internet posting and blogging. People go into the website, go into the Internet, and they put in debt workout, commercial workout, SBA workout, debt default, SBA default, any one of those terms, and they come to me. They call me, we engage in a discussion, and I get hired. So my business is predominantly featured, it markets itself by my Internet presence.
And I love it.
You must be doing this. Google AdWords, you got to do it.
Yep, and I think these are awesome points. You go through a number of pages of talking about using no money or being very careful with your budget and marketing and reevaluating your marketing, but not giving up on marketing. And that's the point I wanted to make to my listeners too, is that even in our own law firm and accounting firm, we focused more on marketing than years past, and we just have to. You have to adjust. Well, we're wrapping up here on just a minute or two, and I've done this before where I don't save time to make a couple important announcements. And so I want to do this, is I want to give Don your website out again. SecondWindConsultants.com. SecondWindConsultants.com. Folks, email me if you want to get a hold of Don. And Don, I want to thank you again for coming out. Your phenomenal book. Folks, get in there and just type in Don Todrin on Amazon, T-O-D-R-I-N. The link's right there on my website, or our newsletter today. And successfully navigating the downturn. And Don, thank you so much for coming on the show with us. We truly, truly appreciate it.
I enjoyed being here. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you. We hope to have you back.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.